Father, I thank you as always. Every time I stand in the message of the Lord, I always acknowledge the word of God as bringing light and understanding to our hearts. So Lord, let that be the case even on here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, today I want to talk on the subject of marriage. That's right. Praise the Lord. You know, we've been doing this room for, well, 2 years or so now going on. And I haven't really done the marriage subject. And you'd wonder, you know, because Lady Ebo and I actually have, or had, a marriage ministry platform on here. We've not been able to do it because Saturdays are just way too busy. So today I'm going to incorporate that right here. And, you know, and this is a subject that everybody should hear, whether you are married or single. It's going to help you. And as the Lord leads, we will speak and see what the Lord will have for us. You say, well, marriage on a weekend like this? Well, absolutely. Because the Lord is concerned about every part of our lives. You know, so that's it. You know, we absolutely need to hear this. Praise God. You know, the last few days, by the grace of God, you know, we were trying to empower the women, you know, to step into their kingdom function and their kingdom roles, regardless of, you know, what society or their religious systems or so forth try to hold them back, you know, in encouraging the women to emerge into their God-given assignments. Hallelujah. And then we also talked about the role of the woman as well, even in the house. Just because you are emerging into your ministry and your kingdom function does not mean you sidestep your husband or you climb over him and so forth. We talked about, you know, the role of the woman. It was a more of a side discussion. It wasn't even the main discussion. But today, we're going to make this the main discussion here. We're going to be talking about the virtuous woman. And most people know about the virtuous woman because we read that all the time in the book of Proverbs chapter 31. We talk about the virtuous woman. And many people know where that's found in the Bible already. And I'm going to talk about today, not just the virtuous woman, but I'm going to be talking about what she needs to have in her life as well. You know, so I wish there are more men in this room right now. And if you know any men that need to be here, ping them in. See, this is the other thing we were talking about the other day. That's always the women that gather in these places. Where are the men? You know, let the men stand up. Hallelujah. And be counted. Yeah, we need some men. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, it'll be on replay, so maybe they can listen in. But ping them in if you have those men friends. Let them come on in here and hear this. This is for women. This is for men as well. We need everybody to hear this. Praise the Lord. Now, so here is where we are going to start. First, I want to define the use of the word woman in the Bible. That's right. I'm not even talking about virtues right now, but I'm going to talk about woman. You know, many times in the Bible, and I said this throughout the series when we were talking about, you know, some of the instructions that Paul gave to women. You know, I talked about it when we were in 1 Corinthians 14, you know, and 34. I talked about it. The woman, the word woman there was referring to a married wife. You know, maybe I didn't call it out specifically like that, but I'm calling it out to you right now. Most of the time when Bible, the money of the verses that talks about woman, referring to a married woman or a wife. You know, when even when Jesus was talking about, you know, you've heard it said of old time that you will not commit adultery. But I say unto you, as he lifted up the standard, you know, and raised the standard high, I say unto you that he that looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery in his heart already. I was talking about a married woman. I was talking about a single woman. You know, anytime the word adultery is used in the Bible, has to do with a married woman. That's why God was always calling the wayward Israel as adulterous, because they're married to the Lord. Praise God. Now, a single woman, you know, for the a single woman, scripture says, look, you keep your body holy and so forth for the Lord. But the subject of adultery is not given relating to a single woman. Now, you heard it. Now, that doesn't condone it. Now, that's fornication. It's just the same thing. It's just evil. When you say adultery, and that's a married woman, it's very important. Now, so a woman, most of the time, when that verb is used, which is ishach in Hebrew, and I don't like using these Hebrew words and so forth when I teach, because I don't want people confused that you have to go and read the Hebrew Bible. No. You know, I don't even read the Hebrew Bible. Occasionally, I'll look up some words. You know, I'm not a Hebrew, so why should I need to read the Hebrew Bible? God needs to speak to me in my own language. I'm not a Hebrew. In fact, Paul, one day, he said to Peter, he said, if you, being a Jew, does not live after the manner of Jews, but you live like the Gentiles, why are you trying to make the Gentiles live as though they Jews, as though they are Jews? You know, so look, listen, you know, I don't have to read the Greek. I don't have to read the Hebrew language. I don't have to read all of these things because that's not my language. God needs to speak to me in my language. Now, I can do study, you know, sometimes look up some words. But anyway, that word woman, Isha, in Hebrew, is actually a wife, married wife. You know, so as opposed to, you know, a woman who is not married, which the word for that is a bit different. And they are called virgin because they're not married. Now, they are expected to not be polluted. They're expected to keep their vessel. So, but let's talk about, I want to address the subject of marriage today. Everybody that's grown wants to be married, even if they're not married. Some people have been married before, and now they are single. And we've heard people, single people in this room, declaring that they will be married. So we've even seen someone that changed their name, the visible name here on this app, to something that indicates that they are the Lord's delight, which is Hephzibah, and even Beulah, which is you will be married. So it's an important subject, and people, you know, think about it. A lot of people do think about it. We have a lot of single people on this platform. Not single forever, but some of them are single again. You know, so, and you need to hear this. It's all important. It's all good for all of us. So, the virtuous woman. We talk about her in Proverbs chapter 31. This is a common place that everybody knows about. So let's go there. And remember, every time we come to the Lord in scripture, you got to engage in the spirit, not in the letter. When you engage in the spirit, there will be new revelation. Hallelujah. In fact, you know, Jesus, when he was giving all those lessons on the so-called Sermon on the Mount, three chapters as recorded by Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and then even Matthew chapter 7. It's talked about a lot of things, you know. And at the end of the day, he said a number of things. He said, look, if any person that listens to these, my words, will be like, you know, a man that built his house on the rock. A lot of things may happen, but that house will stand. You know, so what is a house in this concept? Well, it could be your life. It could also be your family. You know, so we want a house that will stand. We want the floods when they come and the winds will blow and beat upon that house. It will not fall because it was founded upon a rock. But the one that built his house upon the sand is the one that's likened unto the one that does not engage the words of Christ in the spirit. You know, he says, we'll hear these words, but don't take them to heart or even do them. It will be like a man that's, you know, fashioned his house upon the sand. No solid foundation. So we see the importance of hearkening to the words of the Lord in the spirit. It'll help us to create a solid foundation for our lives. You know, so this again, marriage is a subject that should be taught more and various aspects of it. And there are different people doing marriage ministry and so forth. God bless their heart if they're doing it right. But it's something that we don't learn anything about growing up. At least I didn't in my generation. I mean, I got into marriage very early in life. I was only 22. My wife was 21. But I guarantee you, we were way, way advanced beyond our age. At least I was. I knew I was. I wasn't even behaving like a 22-year-old then. I was functioning, you know, at many levels, much higher than that. But I was a novice in spiritual things. I was functioning in high capacity at that time. But in marriage and things like that, I was a novice. I had no idea, I had no clue. And, you know, nobody taught me. And we go to school for so many things. You know, we go to school for many years. You know, if you count all the years that people go to school, even people that just go to plain old, you know, vanilla careers and don't go into specialization, spend many, many years. In my generation, when we grew up in my country, Nigeria, back in the day, you would go to what we call primary school for 6 years, you know, and then you'd go to secondary school for another 6 or perhaps 7 years, you know, adding that up, that's already 13. Then you'd go to the, what we call university, which here in the United States is called college. You'd go to another, you know, 3 years. That's already 16 years. Now, and that's, you know, get a degree after that. Sometimes it's a 4-year college program. Sometimes it's a 3-year program. Sometimes a 5-year program, depending on which program you did. And then sometimes a 7-year program. I mean, so you see that you could have spent 16, 17, 18 or so years. You go through college and you come out. And then if you do some of these specializations, like medicine and so forth, then you got to do your residency or housemanship. That's why they call them over there. You got to do some many years again for that before you actually come up. By the time you're done some of these professions, you may have spent 18, 20 or more years. And not 1 year of all those years spent training and how to conduct your married life, which is the most important part of our lives. You know, a career is not going to work well. You're not going to function well in your career if your marriage is in disarray. You know, so, and yet we have absolutely no training, zero training in all those years. At least I didn't. So I went through college. I got could have been a 3-year degree, but more like a 4-year degree because I did 1 year in Federal School of Science, which is more like a junior college. And after all those years and I trying to get married, you know, got married before the end of my final year in the university. So at that time, I'd spent maybe 16 years, you know, learning something, but none of those years was spent preparing or learning marriage or about marriage. So I just got into this thing, you know, I jumped right into it and I said, well, we'll figure it out along the way. My wife and I said, well, we'll figure it out along the way, learning on the job, so to speak, you know. But after many years, now, by the grace of God, we did figure it out along the way. We're still figuring out some things, but we did figure it out along the way. We've been in it now almost 48 years. So that gives me the credentials to talk about this thing. You know, people who go to school for 6 or 7 years, they get a doctorate degree, they come out, now they are an SME. And they can talk about this, a doctor such and such. When they talk, people listen to them because they have these credentials behind their name, you know. And you, I mean, if you really want people to listen to you, like, you know, some of you might remember the wisdom series that I taught. And when we did knowledge, I said, look, knowledge, you know, in the corridors of influence is the king. That's how I described it there, one of the descriptions that I gave. So when you come, you know, when the people know that you have the knowledge and you have the certification or the degree and so forth, you command some more respect. You know, if you're a doctor such and such and you're speaking on a subject, you command respect. People look at the credentials and say, wow, they got a PhD to their name. And this, so they got to know something about what they are talking about. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I believe that, you know, after 47 years of marriage, and not a marriage that is a prison, a marriage that is flourishing, you know, I think I know a little something about it, you know. So when I speak on this subject, people ought to listen. You know, because I'm not no longer coming in now as a novice. A novice 48 years ago, or maybe a little longer. But today, by no means a novice. I know these things after many years. So you ought to listen. Praise the Lord. Now, so Jesus also talked about, look, you know, any scribe, you know, that is instructed in these things that he's teaching, you know, is like a householder that brings forth the out of his treasure, you know, good things. You know, it's like a householder, you know, can bring forth treasures, old and new. You know, that's a strange, it's a strange representation of how you can add value to what you already have, you know, and never to throw away, you know, the things that you already learned. So we add more to what we have, you know. We add more to what we have. So let's read that verse in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God and giving many parables, all kinds of parables up and down. And then towards the end of that chapter, he would say this thing. And this is important. You know, right now I'm laying a foundation of why these things are so important. In Matthew chapter 13, from about verse 52, after all those things, in fact, let me start from verse 51. He says to them, have you now understood all these things? You know, all these parables and so forth. Some of them he gave interpretation, some he just threw it out there, you know, and so on. And after all that, he said, look, do you now understand these things? And they say, yes, Lord. And I say, okay, that's good. And now he's going to drop this thing. Therefore, every scribe, now those scribes, they were instructed in the old ways. Now, every scribe, which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus brought some new teachings. Now, say, look, yeah, you got the old, but you got the new. Now, when you are instructed into the kingdom of heaven, these teachings, it's like a man that's a householder that brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. You say, well, you can't put new things in, new wine in old bottles. Well, yeah, but still, you know, when you had the old and you add the new, Jesus now say, look, when you're instructed into these new things, now you have a lot of treasure now. You got the benefit of the old, you got the benefit of the new. And you take the best, you know. So out of both places, you know, what you have, you know, Peter said the same thing. He said, look, you know, you have been called into the Lord by your faith, but you don't stop there. You've got to do a few more things, you know. You've got to add to your faith. It's always a matter of adding, and we never take away. You know, spiritual maturity demands that we take what we already have to the next level. You don't, you know, throw it away. You know, now there may be some things that you have to unlearn if they are not accurate, but even in that process, you carry something along that you have learned, you know. So, and most of the time, the reason we have repeat experience of toughening of the Lord trying to strengthen us and making us go through stuff is because we didn't learn the thing right. Or we learned it, but we didn't carry it along. So you got to go do it again. You know, but if you learn it and carry it along, it's a blessing. Second Peter chapter 1 tells us that, look, when you have your faith already in place, beginning from verse 5, he said, besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and all these things. You know, keep on adding. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You're already called and you are already chosen, but give diligence to make sure. Well, you may even be already married. You need to give diligence to make sure your marriage is solid. That's right. And if you are yet to be married, learn these things. And if you're married once before and single now, learn these things, you know, so that you can have a better experience. Praise the Lord. For so, you know, say, look, if you do these things, you shall never fall. If you learn these things, your marriage will not fail. Hallelujah. And entrance will be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, an entrance will be ministered unto you into a blissful marriage, you and your spouse. If you learn these things, you can see how I'm bringing these scriptures and putting them in parallel. So now that we have laid the foundation of why it is important for us to keep learning and coming to the knowledge of the truth. We are not of those that learn but never come to knowledge of the truth. When you learn something, you put it into practice. It becomes part of your SOP, standard operating procedure. Hallelujah. So, on the subject of the virtuous woman, we've known many things that she is. You know, so I'll start there because that's the one that we know. Let me start there. Proverbs chapter 31. You know, who can find a virtuous woman? In fact, if I ask people here to not even look at the Bible, but try to say what Proverbs 31 says about virtuous woman, many people will be able to remember several things that it says. Well, let's look at it. Verse 10 of Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? That's a question. That means, look, it's not, she's not just like, you know, easy pickings on the street. You know, when you find a stone on the street, it's not a precious stone. It's not a pearl. It's not a diamond. It's not, you know, any of those stones. To find those ones, you're going to have to dig and dig, sometimes many thousands of feet into the, you know, the depths of the earth before they can find those stones. And when they find them, you got to go through a refining. You can't just find a costly pearls, you know, on the street. Any stone you pick on the street has absolute, almost no value. It's none of those kind of stones, you know. So, but who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Well, you know how rubies come. I just described it. Now, the heart of her husband. Now, that's why I'm telling you that the word woman here, that's why I went through all of that at the beginning, to tell you that the word woman here is referring to a married wife. That's the word that is used here. That's why it's talking about her husband. You know, just not talking about some random woman that's not married. It's talking about a woman that is married. What is her role? What does she look like if she's to be considered virtuous? You heard some of it. In fact, you know, my wife, she gave a lowdown on the other day. We were talking about this thing that, look, just because you're being called to emerge into your ministry function, and I was glad it came from her, you know, so it didn't just come from me. And look, you still must be subject to your husband. She said it. You know, many of you are here and you heard it. This one's coming from me today and for both sides of the fence now. Not just the woman, but the man. But I'm starting with the woman because that's the one we know a lot about. Virtuous woman. What is it? You know, and so forth. Well, her heart, the heart of her husband, meaning that she's a married wife. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he will have no need of spoil, you know. He doesn't need to kill himself over anything. You know, she would do him good all the days of his life. Never evil. The woman, my goodness. You know, let me put it to you this way right off the bat. A woman that loves the Lord and wants to be like this, it's a heart of gold. Hallelujah. You know, she has a heart of gold. She loves her husband. She will do the man no evil. You know, it's not going to have evil words out of her mouth. You know, all her days, she's never going to speak evil of her husband. Some women speak evil of their husbands, you know, and they think that that's the right thing to do. You know, they be talking about, you should never, husband or wife, should never speak evil of your, not to your girlfriends, not to your other man friends. You know, you should only speak good. Hallelujah. Praise God. And people should not company with, you know, people who are speaking evil of their spouses. Because if someone is speaking evil of their spouse, you get away from that. Because that's poison. You know, and evil communication will corrupt good manners. And if they can't, that evil communication comes out of their mouth to you, it will begin to corrupt you. Then you begin to see, you know, the fault in your own spouse. That's what you will begin to see. You know, all those things, you know, you get away from that stuff. So people gather together and they be speaking, my husband didn't do this, my husband didn't do that, my wife didn't do that, my wife doesn't do this. That's, you know, that's the devil getting into their heads, you know, and a believer should never do that. You heard it. Believers should never do that. Now, speak good of her husband. Do him good, never evil. And she does a lot of things with her hands too. You've seen all those things that she does. She's not lazy. I mean, she can work hard. She can do this. She can sew. She can knit. She can do this. She can, you know, I mean, she knows how to buy things and do stuff. She can get up early in the morning, take care of her household, give a portion to her maidens. I mean, with the fruit of her hands, you know, she planted a vineyard. She knows how to do gardening and do all these things. She knows how to put strength around her loins and strength in her arms. She's not a weakling. And then she knows how to look for good merchandise and so forth. Now, a candle goeth not out by night. She's not weary. I mean, and many of our women, God bless their hearts. These things that are being described here, many women here, some of them are single women, but they got to raise those kids and they're doing it. They don't only take care of them, they take care of the house, they got to work. And sometimes if they have a husband on top of all of that, you know, they have to take care of their husband, so that's another child. They got to do all these things. I mean, women are always under a lot of pressure, you know, a lot of pressure. They got to do all these things. I go to work, they man the house. I mean, they take care of their husband, take care of their children, take care of the this, take care of the that. You know, it's a lot of stress, you know, but there is help if they know how to do it right. I'm going to tell you help also that's going to come from their husband in a bit. But let me give it to you this way first. This woman, she knows how to do these things. She knows how to do spindle and so forth. She also knows how to take care of the poor. You know, her hands reach out to the needy. She's not afraid of whether it's the winter or this or that. She knows how to take care of, you know, clothing, get her husband, get their children, know how to feed their children. Any woman that doesn't know how to do that, I don't even know what kind of woman they are. Because, you know, these things are inherent in women. Even in nature, I love to watch these National Geographic and the, you know, the Earth series and the Wild Animal series. I love to watch them. I learn a lot of things when I watch them. And we see how those mother animals protect their young ones. I mean, they can do anything to protect. They'll fight off the hunting animals and so forth. And the prowler, they will do everything. I mean, these instincts are in the motherly instincts are in even women as well. You know, and, you know, her husband. Now, remember, you were talking about a married woman here. So don't just think of the virtuous woman as just some random woman. So we're talking about the virtuous woman as a married wife here. You know, now, if you're single, well, you can desire these qualities as well. Prepare yourself for marriage. This is how you must be, you know. And if you're single again, then you should also know that you need to be like this when you get back into marriage. Now, her husband is known in the gates when he's seated among the elders of the land. What does that really mean? You know, instead of saying that this woman is such and such person's wife, they are saying that, you know, this woman, you know how women are associated with their husband. They say, ah, that's such and such person's wife. Right? So, but now they're looking at her and saying, wow, the husband of this woman, you know, so it's a different perspective. You know, her husband is known in the gates. She brings honor to the family name. Hallelujah. And she has, when she even opens her mouth, it's with wisdom. Her tongue is the law of kindness. Now, are you that kind of woman? Check yourself. Is your tongue the law of kindness? Or are you always tongue lashing your husband? Tongue lashing your kids? And some women actually tongue lash their husbands. I mean, that's it's a travesty. You know, because can you imagine that? You know, women tongue lash their husband. Whereas the Bible says her tongue should be a law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household. And she's not an idle person. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. you know, quite unlike what people think that women need to sit around and do nothing. They do a lot. If the roles were reversed, men who, you know, think of their wives as housewives and house mothers only, they can't handle those kids. You know, when the men go to work and the woman has to deal with the little kids when their kids are growing, she may be a career woman, but sometimes she gives up her career to take care of those kids. You know, it's the man can't handle it. Can't handle all those things that she does. You know, I mean, men are the ones, you know, we've seen some house fathers as well. And, you know, very, very rarely can they handle it. Some of them do a good job too. You know, we have single fathers as well. It's not just single mothers. And some of them do a good job, but it's really hard just sitting around in the house all day is what people think they do. No, that's not what they do. They got a lot of good going on, especially when you have little kids running around crying, jumping up over the place and so forth. These things can drive you nuts. These women are graced, especially the ones that have the Spirit of God. They are graced to handle these things. And it's a lot. And the husbands need to recognize what these women are doing, what they have to do, you know. And their children also need to recognize their mother. You know, the children will rise up and call her blessed. This is what the children should do to their mothers. You know, I've known in some communities, especially African communities, where the children tend to honor only their father and not their mother. You know, they respect the father. If the father says something, they will respect and so forth, because maybe he's the disciplinarian. And they tend to just waltz all over the woman and so forth. No. Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with you. If you honor only your father, it's only half of the equation. Honor your mother. You know, the children of this virtuous woman, they rise up and they call her blessed. They know her value. You know, and look, lastly, he said, look, many daughters have done virtuously, you know, but thou, this virtuous woman, thou excelleth them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord has a heart of gold. That's the way I put it. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. It's a heart of gold before the Lord. It's like a treasure. Who can find it? It's like a pearl. It's like rubies. You can find it. You know, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. And well, let her husband praise her too. Let her children praise her. Let the community praise her. In the community, she will be praised. That's what the gates mean. Praise the Lord. And so this is I don't want to dwell too much on this. I'll come back inside the lesson today or next time, when I talk more about, you know, some of her virtues. But we know a lot about virtuous women. Well, when, you know, the last few days we've also talked about the virtuous women that can win their unbelieving husbands over even without, you know, their words. You know, Peter talks about that, you know, that look, while they behold your chaste conversation is actually way of life. The word that translated there is your way of life. You know, they can be won even without the word. In other words, you know, you don't necessarily need to preach at them, you know, but, you know, they can be won even without the word. When they look at your behavior, we heard testimony in this room, the beloved brother that came up and said how his wife, I mean, both of them grew up, you know, outside of the Lord. They were not in the Lord initially, but then the wife began to know the Lord, and then, you know, the husband eventually began to see, you know, the things and their life, the behavior of the wife, the character. You know, they began to, you know, draw them to the law, you know. So, you know, even when there is disparity in belief systems, right? there is an opportunity for the woman to win. Usually the man, and it's he's instructed to do so. The man is instructed to be the priest in his house. But sometimes the roles are reversed because, you know, God forbid that he's a man of Belial that doesn't care anything about God or hates the Lord. You know, then the woman has an uphill battle. But sometimes the man is, you know, gentle. He just is not going along. He doesn't care for the things of God, but he's not preventing his wife necessarily. Sometimes their hearts are, you know, in different directions. But the woman can do a lot of things, you know. So 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 2 tells us that, you know, we read that in this room the last few days. In fact, let me read the two verses out of that 1 Peter chapter 3. You know, things that women can do even when your husband may not be believing or following the way like you want them to do. It says, likewise, ye wives, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 1, be in subjection to your own husbands. We've talked about this in this room the last few days. Women are not commanded to be in subjection to all men. There's no such command in the scriptures. The commandment is for the woman to be in subjection to her own husband. I don't care if the woman is the president of the United States. In the house, she must be in subjection to her own husband. That's it. You know, and we don't care what ministry role or anything the woman emerges into in the house. You know, that's the structure that God puts in place. She will still be in subjection to her own husband. And if she's not, then she's already missed the mark. That's right. She's already missed the mark. And so, you know, we talked about you must run according to the rules. When you engage in the ministry, and you're a woman, you engage, we're asking you to engage. You engage and the Lord called you and you to be doing it. But if you don't do it according to the rules, you still will not win the prize. You know, so one of the basic rules is that the married woman must be subject to her own husband. That's it. And if you are doing that, and even if the husband is not obeying the word, you're not told that you need to be subject only to your husband if they're obeying the word. No. Someone is saying, even if they're not obeying the word, still be subject to them. And they may, when they're looking at you, they can also be won over, even without you preaching at them. When they behold the conversation, the way the wife speaks and the way they carry on in their lives, way of life of the wives, they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, who's adorning and so forth. We talked about all of these things. The woman has a meek and quiet spirit. She's in the sight of God of great price. I call it a heart of gold before the Lord, you know, and talked about how the woman should carry herself. So we know all of that. Now, well, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs, remember, heirs together of the grace of life. They're not weaker necessarily in spiritual strength, but, you know, in physiology and so forth, we just tend to, you know, treat the woman as a weaker vessel. So we help them out. You know, I look at my wife like that, nothing weaker in spiritual things, but when it comes to doing heavy lifting in the house, when she goes to the store and she comes back, here the garage door open, I'll go there and help her bring all the stuff in. And she wants to carry heavy stuff, I tell her, leave that stuff, you know, I'll get them. Just take the little ones. Even if I'm busy, she knows to leave the heavy stuff. Help her get all the stuff. You know, I say, look, I'm treating her like that. In spiritual things, I don't treat her as though she's weaker. You know, I just treat her in natural things so I can give her help. You know, and you know, everywhere I go and people wonder, you know, in fact, when we went to Nigeria and some women came around and they saw that I wouldn't let my wife carry anything, they were like, What's that all about? Said, well, you know, I have to help my woman. You know, so, you know, in that aspect, yes, but never in spiritual things, think of her as less or anything like that. No, you know, joint heirs of this same grace of life. You know, that being said, you know, let's talk about what the woman needs. Now, the man needs, you know, the wife to love him, to respect him, submit to him as well. Because this is what the Bible says. And a woman that loves her husband and respects him and submits to him, my goodness, that man bent over backwards to do anything for her. I mean, when you tell your man, you know, that he's great, you know, he can do, you know, I mean, when you tell him and you appreciate him, it's like his head will swell and he can do anything. He will flex his muscles. Could do anything for you, you know, and women need to learn that trick, you know, and instead of nagging your husband, just tell him how great he is, you know, and, you know, appreciate him, but do it, you know, truthfully too. And then you'll see how they can do, you know, I heard a story, you know, it's a funny story, you know, how a man broke his back one time trying to carry something that he couldn't just because his wife told him, you're strong. You're a strong man. And he tried to break his back, you know, and it was so funny. But, I don't know if it's a true story or not, but I heard it. But, you know, it's noteworthy to see how men will go extra mile when you pump them up like that, you know. Yeah, you know, give that man, you know, and people always talk about, you know, women need adoration and they need, men need that too. I'm telling you now, coming from the place of a man, you know, a man needs that. When the woman is loving, adoring, honoring and, you know, lifting up her husband, the man thinks he can conquer the world. He thinks he can do anything. And he wants to do anything. Praise the Lord. You know, so, and, you know, so, but let's now talk about, we've talked about the Proverbs 31 woman. Now I am going to talk about the man. See, and I call him the Psalm 23 man. That's right. Some of you have heard this. My wife has heard it a few times. But some of you may never have heard it, but I'm going to explain it to you today. Now, this Psalm 23 is a psalm that everybody knows, even people who are not believers. Everybody knows this psalm. And everybody reads and can quote this psalm. Even from a little kid, we can all quote it. But I'm going to give you another perspective today about that Psalm 23, which we all know very well and we can all quote. Now, this Psalm 23 is what I call the shepherding husband. And every virtuous woman needs and deserves a shepherding husband. So let's read Psalm 23 again, perhaps for the first time, in a different perspective that you've ever read it before. You read it like this. Now, this is the married wife that is saying these things. Don't read it as though it is David saying it. You know, read it as though it is the married wife that's saying these things. So this is what the woman needs. Any man is in this room today, it's what the woman needs. And this is the prayer, when I figured this out, this is the prayer that I started praying. Make me, Lord, like this to my woman. And if you are a single woman, this is the kind of man that you need. And it's all inside this psalm. We're going to bring it out right now. So this is a prayer that goes both ways. The woman is, this is what you are looking for in the man. This is what she's looking for, whether she realizes or not. He's not tall, dark, and handsome. It's these things that are in here. you know, and this is what the man needs to be. Now, the woman, of course, needs to be praying. When you are a single woman wanting to get married, or even if you're already in marriage, you need to pray that you be that kind of woman to your husband, that you are the only one he desires, that you are treating him like it says in Proverbs 31, that you are treating him like it says in 1 Peter 3, that you are honoring him, submitting to him, and so forth. His heart will never look to anything else. Now, on the other hand, here is the prayer of the woman, or here is the longing of her heart, is describing this song. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, read it this way. My husband is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. This is what the shepherding husband does to the wife. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Are you tracking with me? This is what the shepherding husband does. You know, he restores my soul. He's always there for her when her soul is troubled. He's right there to encourage her. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He's a spiritual leader in his home. He repairs the altar and he sets things in order in his own home. He puts the wood in order. He restores the altar in his own home for his own name's sake, because the woman is carrying his name. You know, so, you know, I remember when I met my wife, I didn't know she was going to be my wife then. First day I laid eyes on her, you know, and then we met later on and we were talking and so forth. And I just took her under my wings and I was training her, teaching her and so forth. And later on when she was going to become my wife, I continued the teaching and the training, because she was a much younger person in the faith than I was. And I was actually the one that prayed for her to receive the Holy Ghost and so on. So I was mentoring her and teaching her and so forth. And in my head, once I knew that she was going to be my wife, I even did more. Because it's like, look, she's going to carry my name. So this is how I want her to be, you know. So, you know, I want her to be like this. It's kind of like the Lord. This is what the Lord wants the bride, his bride, that church to be like. So he's doing all these things, training that church, doing all these things. And I was thinking that, look, this is how I want my wife to be like. She's got to be like this. So I have to train her to do that. So he leads his wife in the paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. But the woman is going to carry his name. And the woman says, look, now this is the woman's perspective now. The woman says, look, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. As long as her husband is around, she is confident. It's like, I have a very big husband. Oh, he's always by my side. Look, she is confident because the man is around. She's not going to fear anything. Praise God. He said, look, I run, comfort me, thy staff and so forth. He gently leads her. This is the shepherding husband. See what the woman is looking for. And go, look at this. Thou preparest a table before me. Look, every husband must prepare a table for his wife. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm teaching my boys. I said, look, you know, I don't care what your wife is doing or not doing. You are the man. You prepare that table. Hallelujah. You furnish that table. That's right. You furnish the table. You make sure she doesn't need to stretch her neck and look at anything else. You take care of business. Praise God. Because you are the man. Who's wearing the pants? You. I told my boys. You are the man. You wear the pants. You take care of your woman. Hallelujah. And I can say confidently that I have taken care of my woman and my children too. You know, all the years, it lacked nothing. Because I would go to any extent. I would do anything to set that table, make sure they have it, you know. And I didn't care what it took. I didn't matter what I have to sacrifice. It didn't matter what a pain I had to go through. I would do it. Hallelujah. You know, and even when my wife was working, it was like, look, that all your salary and everything, that's your pocket money. You do it, enjoy, do whatever you want. But right here on this table, that's on me. Hallelujah. You know, and that's on now. I'm not saying that's the way it's got to be for everybody. You know, the woman is supposed to be help me. The man doesn't need to kill himself if he can't. Doesn't have the means. The woman, look, my woman was help me before I started earning any money. She was working first while I was still in school, and she took care of me. She helped me, and I accepted the help. But I promised her that once I get to where I need to be, you know, the roles are reversed, and I'm going to take care of you. That's right. And for these 48 years, by the grace of God, I have taken care of business. That's right. You know, sometimes my wife doesn't even know how the bills are paid. Praise the Lord, you know. And, because I believe that the Bible says that I will set a table before my wife, even the presence of her enemies. She doesn't like to look. I will anoint her head with oil. Some people tell me, what are you doing? That's your woman looking so good. Well, you know, got to take care of her, you know, and she got to look good. Praise God. You know, the woman said, look, he's taking care of me. And then she just dancing and swinging, you know, my cop is running over. I mean, she's just like that, you know, praise God. You know, I mean, this is the woman. Read this psalm again as though it was the woman talking about her husband, you know. And now she says, look, he's taking care of me. He's anointing my head with oil. My cup is running over. She doesn't lack anything. That this man, and this is what every man must pray, that God will empower him to be able to do this. God must empower you to be able to give your wife everything that she needs, just like that God does to their church. And she will have abundance running over. Praise the Lord. You know, and so finally she said, look, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of my husband forever. Hallelujah. This is the way, this is what the virtuous woman needs. She's a virtuous woman already. She's doing her part. But the man needs to be this kind of shepherding husband to her. And this is the prayer. Look, women, if you're looking for a husband, don't be looking for dark, tall, and handsome, or whatever they say. This is what you need right here. And men, this is how you need to be to your woman. If you are not like this, you need to go back to the drawing board. If you are not the shepherding husband, you are not the priest that's leading your wife in the path of righteousness. And even if you are still preparing to be married, these are the qualities that the man needs to be praying for. Lord, make me like this. Let me be this kind of man to my woman. Let her see me in this light, that I am her shepherd, and she will want nothing. She knows that I've taken care of her. She knows I will always lead her to green pastures. You know, I'm not going to starve her. I'm never going to make sure that, I'm never going to leave her, you know, to be destitute. I'm going to take care of her. You know, you begin to make these prayers. You begin to build yourself up like that. And let me tell you something else for men. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 27. Read this now. Let me tell you this. Men, if you are listening to me, learn this verse because you need to learn it. You know, I didn't quite learn it, but I learned it later. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 27 has a very salient principle. What does he say? He said, look, first, prepare your work in the field, and afterward, you build your house. That means what? It means, look, prepare yourself to be able to take care of your house. You know, don't be marrying when you have nothing going for you. Take care of yourself. You know, prepare your work in the field, and you have the fruits of the field to build your house. Now, does that mean that a woman should always be looking for the ready-made man? You'll never find a ready-made man. You know, you may or may not, and they may not be good for you. And even if you do, it may not be good for you. I was not a ready-made man when my wife found me, or I found her, or we found each other. But she saw something in me. She knew I had potential. That's right. I didn't have anything, but I had potential. Now, I was not a riffraff. I don't think any woman should be marrying a riffraff, you know, because they can't take care of you. But they don't need to be, I mean, a woman doesn't need to be a gold digger. But you need to know that the man can do this, can take care of you. I was a student. I had no salary. I didn't even have a job. But my wife, she married me anyway. She knew I had potential. And, you know, that position of being a student didn't last very long. It was just a year or so, you know. And then I come out of there and I'm ready. Hallelujah. I'm ready to take care of business. Glory to God. You know, and God has enabled me over the years. And I've even done better as time went, you know, along. You know, at first I was struggling and different things, but I kept improving myself because my purpose was I'm going to put set this table before my wife, you know, and her cup is going to run over, and my kids, I'm going to do this, and they will not lack. They will not lack any good thing. You know, the Bible says the Lord will not withhold any good thing from those that trust in him. Well, because my wives are trusted in me, I made sure, and my kids too, that they will not lack any good thing. And so I set my heart to do this, and the Lord was with me and gave me the grace to do it. And this is what every virtuous woman needs. And I'm going to go more into detail on this perhaps some other time. But I want to lay this foundation to you. You, if you're a man that is trying to have a family or raise a family, you need to know that these are the qualities that the woman is looking for. The woman needs a shepherd. You know. Hallelujah. She doesn't need a bully. She doesn't need somebody that's going to be bullying her. She needs a shepherd. She needs a protector. Hallelujah. And if you think that you are the king, then she's the queen. Praise God. The queen who sit in affair. You know, she's a, you know, hey, look. My wife thinks of me as the king, but I think of her as the queen. And you know, I love to play chess. How many of you play chess? If you played chess, you know that the queen is actually the most powerful figure on that chessboard. So, you know, and I didn't know these things when I was a young man. I used to play championship chess. I was a good thinker, you know, a strategist in my head. I could think many moves ahead and things like that. And you have to be like that when you play chess. God taught me some things later through chess, even about the things of God, you know. But, you know, the queen, she's the most powerful figure on that board. The king is there. The knights are there. You know, the bishop is there. The pawns are there. But the queen, oh my goodness. She is the one. And, you know, you got to protect. And the whole duty of that whole chess crew is to protect that queen. Everybody, you got to protect that queen. Hallelujah. You know, and if you put your queen in a precarious situation, it's check. And if every move that you need to make in order to get out of that check situation puts you in another check situation, then that's a checkmate. So the goal of the whole thing is protect the queen. Hallelujah. And you know, even nature, there's some other things in nature like the bees and the ants and some of these things. The queen is the main figure in their colony. You got to protect that queen because she's the producer. You know, and you know, women, the Lord put the power in women to be a multiplier. You know, the man is a source, but the woman is a multiplier. You know, that's why, you know, look at me. I was a single man going nowhere, you know, when I was 22. And I wasn't even thinking about marriage. I didn't even want to think about marriage. But we had some, I had some mentors back then. And they knew that we were up and coming in the ministry. And I was on fire. My goodness. Back in the day. And then these mentors came around and said, look, you got to figure out, we used to call it a life partner or something like that back in the day. You got to figure out who your life partner is going to be. And you got to settle that part. You got to get a woman. I'm like, woman, I don't have time for that. And they kept telling, you got to do this. Because look, if you don't settle that part, you know, there's going to be a lot of temptation and you might fall in this. And they began to tell us many things, you know, the money, the woman, the pride and all of these things that can make you fall. And they kept telling us. So finally I said, okay, fine. You know, I got to deal with this thing, you know. So, I started praying about it, you know. But I tell you what, even when I didn't know the importance of it, it was being drummed into my head that I needed to understand this. And now that I understand it even better. You know, the woman is not just there just to be there. I mean, look at what she's, you know, God has allowed her to do in my life. I was a single person going nowhere, having nothing and so forth. But today, I have everything. Praise the Lord. She come into my life. She's a multiplier. That's what the woman is does. She come in there, you know, multiply. Hallelujah. Multiply. Now, by the grace of God, because the woman can't do it by herself. She needs the man too. But, you know, she come in there now, blessed with children and grandchildren. My house is flourishing. And, you know how the woman is, you know. I mean, if I was living in this house all alone, maybe I probably wouldn't do too much to the house. But, you know, with the woman, you got to decorate the house. You got to, you know, renovate the house. You got to remodel the house. You got to do the this. You got to do the that. And, you know, you're living in the house. I mean, the house that we're living in now, 30-something years old, maybe 34 years old, it's still looking new. Because we got to remodel. We got to do this. Because the woman, she loves these things. You know, and I got to let her dance. Hallelujah. You know, I didn't learn that early in life. Like, sometimes I said no. Then later on in life, I found, you got to let the woman dance. Glory to God. And if you can let her dance, you can let her float. You can let her sing. You can let her fly like the butterfly. Then your life will be so much better. You know, even people of the world, they say, happy wife, happy life. You know, and I say, happy wife, happy life. What about happy husband? So, you know, and let me tell you something about being happy together. This is what it takes. I'm going to tell it to you now. It takes be ye kindly affectioned one to another. Now, all the things that the scripture says about your brother and sister, you know, which believers know, they apply to your spouse. Because your spouse is your husband. If it's your husband, it's your brother. If it's your wife, it's your sister. Because you have the same father like that. You know, and look, my wife is the child of the King of Kings. So I better treat her with respect because her father is not going to take kindly. You know, to my daughters who are married, I told their husbands, you better take care of my daughter. I don't want my daughter to be sad. I don't want my daughter to be crying. You better take care of her. You know, and The same thing. God wants me to take care of his daughter. Hallelujah. So I got to take care. This woman is a daughter of the King of Kings. I can't just treat her shabbily. I treat her with respect. Some men think that they don't have to respect their wives, that only the wives should respect. You are dead wrong. You need to respect your wife and treat her like the daughter of the King. You need to treat her with honor. And men, let me tell it to you this way. You need to serve your wife. You heard it. You heard it from the man that's got 48 years under his belt. You need to serve your wife and serve your family. This is the secret. Hallelujah. just like Christ. Christ said, look, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And Christ said, look, if I be your Lord and Master and I take the towel and do all these things and wash your feet. And Jesus was telling them all these examples. This is what the man needs to do. I've heard that some men, all they do, if they're not at work, all they do when they come home, and even sit around, watch TV and all this. What kind of nonsense is that? The woman who has to go through all this stuff. In fact, the woman needs to take a break when you get back from work. That's right. Praise the Lord. Because what she's been doing, I'm talking about women who are stay home moms, what she has to put up with, those kids really. I know now when my grandkids come to my house, it's like, if they say they're going to spend a couple of nights, we don't sleep during those nights. I can tell you that. We took no sleep because these kids is like, they are more at liberty when they come to my house than they are in their own house. It's like they get this burst of energy. I don't know where it is they come from when they are in my house. They run all over the place. It's like, my goodness, you can't keep up with these kids. You can't sleep. Can you imagine their mother at home having to deal with that all the time? And I look at it, I'm like, oh my goodness. Well, my kids wants like this, because now I just see my kids so gentle. You can see my daughter there, Olunife. Her face is so nice, also gentle and so forth. Well, she wants troublesome like those kids. maybe not. But she was so sweet anyway. So sweet. But the kids, they can run all over the place, break things in the house, do everything. In fact, sometimes you have to take your, valuables away, because this kid can just throw something. And the kids are so loving. They're not doing it to be malicious. They're just being kids. And this is what the mother has to put up with. Look, men who have stay-at-home moms should reverse the role for 1 week with those little kids. Let the woman just go and let you be the one. You'll be crazy. Be crazy before the end of that week. I guarantee you. Because these kids, women, they are like that. God has just built them. They can handle. They can deal with it. The man can't deal with that stuff. We don't have that patience like that. It's like the pregnancy, the things that women deal with in pregnancy. I've often said, like, look, if women... if the roles were reversed and the men were the ones to be pregnant and give birth, each family will have at most one childbirth. If they're lucky and that childbirth were twins, that's it. If it was one child, that's it. Because no man is going to go through that the second time. I can guarantee you. And I know if I was the one to be pregnant and I saw the thing that my wife went through, that's it. The first time, we're done. We're not having any more babies because the man can handle it. But God has put these women together. They are so nurturing. Yeah, they may cry when they are having that baby, but as soon as that baby is born, they forget. They want another baby. I'm like, are you kidding me? So the women, they are so great. I'm just, you know, celebrating the women today and celebrating the godly men as well. A godly man, a shepherding husband is what the wife needs. If you are a husband and you haven't figured it out from Psalms 23 yet, read it again. Read it in the spirit the next time. Now that you've heard this, you know, read it again and let the Holy Spirit break it down for you. And you'll see that this man is calling out from the praise of the woman. The Lord is my shepherd. My husband is my shepherd. And I shall not want. And at the end of the day, she said, look, I will dwell in the house of my husband forever. She's not going to leave him. Oh, no. You're going to have to put her away. The woman will stay there. She will be there. She's faithful. She's like that. And so, well, not all women, those who are not godly, they're not like that. Now, men are not, ungodly men are also have their own issues. But I'm talking about kingdom, the kingdom marriage here. This is what it looks like. And they are helping each other. They are honoring each other. They are serving each other. You serve your wife. How do you serve your wife? You are sister. You help her in carrying the heavy things. You go to the kitchen. You do the dishes. You do the work around the house and so forth. That's the way it is in my house. Praise the Lord. My daughters, they saw that growing up. And so they knew what they were looking for, you know, in a man. You know, you take care. That's how you help your woman. You honor your woman. You honor your husband too. Goes both ways. And kindness is the secret. You know, why is it that I help my wife? It's out of my kindness. I'm not going to let my wife crumble or under all these things because I'm kind to her, you know, and anything that my wife wants to do, I'm not even talking about housework, anything at all, you know, even if I say I'm busy and I don't have time or so forth, eventually I'm going to come around to it because I want to help her, you know, I need to help her, whatever it is she wants to do, whether in the house, out of the house, anything that she's in her head and so forth, I'm a part of it. And she brings me to be a part of it too. And I'm also a part of it because I need to help her because I am the good shepherd. Hallelujah. The good shepherd in my house, you know, is the prayer that I prayed. I said, Lord, make me the good shepherd in my house over my wife and my children. Hallelujah. Let her heart safely trust that I will lead her in the paths of righteousness. I will lead her to green pastures. Green pastures. You know, people say something about the grass is greener at the other, on the other side of the fence. I say, not in my house. Not in my neighborhood, ladies and gentlemen. In my house, the grass is the greenest. In my neighborhood, the grass is the greenest. I don't need to look over the fence because listen, it's what I tell people. If you spend time watering your grass, your own grass, all that time you are looking over the fence, spend that time watering your own grass will be just as green. Hallelujah. And listen, let's just make the argument. Let's just assume that indeed the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Let's just assume that. Okay. If truly the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, then if you cross over to the other side of the fence and the statement is true, the statement will still be true that the grass is still greener on the other side of the fence. So if the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, no matter where you are, it will be greener on the other side of the fence. You know, so you just be, instead of doing all that, water your own lawn already. Proverbs says, look, drink waters out of your own cistern. Yeah, that's right. You know, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Don't be looking around to any other thing. Praise the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, which comes first though? I always ask this, the chicken or the egg? I ask this question all the time. Which one comes first? So, I want to see your answers in the chat room. Which one comes first, the chicken or the egg? Put it in the chat room. That's a chicken or egg. Which one comes first? I want to see it in the chat room, because anytime I'm on this subject of source man and wife, I like to ask that question. Which one comes first? The chicken and egg. People have this proverbial saying about it's a chicken and egg issue, because which one comes first? Chicken or egg? What's your answer? Let me see what people are posting. People say chicken. Some people say egg. Okay, so we are divided. Egg, chicken, egg, chicken. Okay, very good. So what does that mean? You know, what it means is this. The Bible commands the husband to love their wives. The Bible commands the wife to submit to their own husbands. And so on and so forth. But the Bible also commands in Ephesians chapter 5, he also commands that we submit to one another. People forget that. You know, the submit to one another part, you know, is not, there's a hierarchical submission, which is different from Ephesians 5:21. Ephesians 5:21 is the honoring, the letting your wife dance, letting your husband do, letting all of this, you know, that's okay. You know, you submit to one another. There are times, you know, that, you know, my wife has a better idea. I submit to her. You know, she know, you know, that's her department. I submit to her and so forth. You know, that's submitting one to another. But verse 22 is the structure and the order in the kingdom marriage. Wives, submit unto your own husband. That's it. There is no way around. If you don't know how to submit, you cannot have a successful marriage. End of story. And if you don't know how to, you as a man also, if you don't know how to love your wife and cherish her and be kind to her and succor her and be the shepherding husband, you cannot have a successful marriage either. You know, so, but, okay, some women will say, well, my husband doesn't love me, so I cannot respect him. Okay. Some man may say, well, my wife doesn't respect me, so I cannot love her. That's why I ask the question, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? You know, so the way you need to handle it, and we talked about this yesterday, is deal with yourself. When you look in the Bible calls the Word of God a mirror. You know, it's a mirror. That's what it's called. It's not a microscope and it's not a telescope. It's a mirror. The mirror it's pointing back at you. That's all you can fix. You can't fix your spouse. Fix yourself. You fix yourself. Never mind what they are doing or not doing. If your husband is not loving you, don't worry about it. Honor him nonetheless. Look, anytime we obey the Word of God, even when it costs us, you can never lose. You can never lose. It may cost you, but you got a reward. You got a crown of life because you did what the Word of God says. So if you're loving that son of Belial who does not respect you and everything, God will, you know, you have a reward for it. Now, no woman should put her head in a place where her life is in danger. We're not talking about abusive, physically abusive, emotionally abusive husband. You know, and some women are abusive to their husbands too. And I've heard stories. You know, we're not talking about that. You know, those ones, they're not even believers. They behave like that. Look, the Bible said in 1 Timothy 5:8, you know, if a man cannot take care, he can't be this shepherding husband, you've denied the faith. You're worse than an infidel. You know, if a man is worse than an infidel, well, they're no longer a believer. You know, look, women need to protect themselves, you know. So I'm not going to say that a woman should stay in that marriage until they get killed. We've heard stories like that. That's awful. But I'm not talking about that today. You know, the Bible says, look, I speak among wise men. You know, even though we do speak, we are persuaded better things of you. I'm persuaded better things of people. Now, if your life is in danger, that's a different story. But I'm talking about a marriage that they're trying to make it work. Well, this is how to make it work. Rather than saying, unless he loves me, I cannot respect him. And the man is saying, unless she respects me, I cannot love her. Well, why don't you do your own first? Instead of worrying about which comes over, the chicken or the egg, just do your own part. Do your own part. That's all you can do. If you do your part well, the other person might actually begin to change. That's what we've read in the scriptures. So do your part well. Well, for the chicken and egg answer, actually, you know, if you say the chicken came first, well, you know, then you're right, because God created the chicken before the egg and put the egg inside the chicken. But then again, after that, there's a cycle, you know, then the chicken comes from the egg also. So those who say chicken comes from the egg, they're thinking a little bit later down the road, you know, because now the egg is hatched into a chicken. But first the chicken had to make the egg, you know, so that's why the scripture says, you know, the man, you know, is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither is the man without the woman. That's the chicken and egg right there. you know, the egg is not without the chicken. Neither is the chicken without the egg, you know, and so forth. They're like that. But the woman needs to have power over her head. That's her covering, because her husband is her covering. Her husband is her head. The woman is not the man's covering. That's contrary to scripture. You can't cover your husband, even if you are the one that is making the more money. No, your husband is your covering. And Christ is the covering over the man. Now, some people say the man is the head of the family. That's even unscriptural. I don't know where they found that in the Bible. That's wrong. Let me debunk that right now. Christ is the head of the family. The husband is the head of the wife, not the head of the family. But, you know, so for those people that say the husband is the head of the family, there's no such thing. The husband is the head of the wife. Christ is the head of the man. That makes Christ the head of the family. Together, husband and wife, you know, they are both covering to the children. It's not only the husband that covers the children. It's not only the wife that covers the children. Husband and wife both cover the children, you know. That's why, you know, I've seen cases where when the woman was pregnant, the husband was in disagreement, they're fighting, they're doing all these kinds of things over it. The man didn't want the woman to keep the child. The woman, this and that, they're fighting. They're not, that child is not protected by their joint love. And sadly, in some cases, not all cases, but I've seen it many times. Sadly, in some cases, they lose that child, you know. And they say, wow, you know, yeah, because they, you know, they, you need, the children need to be covered by the love of the father and the mother. Now, the husband is the covering for the wife. That's why she's got to have power over her head. When she covers her head, it's like a sign of submission. I've seen women who want to be rebellious, then they go and cut their hair. In fact, I was watching a program one day. It was not even a Christian program. I was just watching the thing. And this man was telling his friend at the gym, you know, that he was having problems. And he said something about, in fact, my wife, you know, she went and cut her hair. And the man said, oh, you're in trouble now. She cut her hair. And it was not even a Christian program. You know? And I'm like, oh my goodness. And even believers don't understand that. Believers do not even understand that. And I was watching this program and I had nothing to do with anything. It was just a random program. I can't even remember the program it was. You know, I'm like, wow. The children of this world are wiser in their own generation. Look, when women want to be rebellious, then they cut their hair. A married woman, you cut their hair. That's a sign of rebellion. Because you need to have power. The power over your head is your submission. Because the angels are looking. That's right. You know, so now some women do lose their hair because of, just like me, I lose my hair. I'm bald now and so in some parts. No, that's okay. Women may lose their hair over time and they may have to trim it because it's getting worse. But that's not, I'm not talking about, I'm talking about the spirit, not the letter. When a woman deliberately, and I've seen, you know, there was at least one case that I knew. One young couple, you know, when the woman started getting frustrated with her husband and everything, she went out deliberately. And these people were supposedly believers. Of course, they were shaky at best. But she went out deliberately to go and cut her hair. I'm like, oh my goodness. Why in the world would you do that? And it's a sign of rebellion. It's just a sign of rebellion. People don't know it, but it's a sign of rebellion. Therefore, a woman praying or prophesying, having her head uncovered, dishonored her head. You hearing it now? You know, because her hair is giving her for a covering. Now, that's another subject that people would like me to get into. I may get into it today. But if you have long hair, it's already your covering. You don't have to wear a scarf. If you use your long hair to cover your head, it's a covering. But if you don't have long hair, then you should cover your head with some kind of a vaulted veil that's vaulted backwards, you know, cover your head, you know, and so forth. This is how they did it traditionally, but we have no such custom. So I don't preach on that, but that's not my, God didn't call me to preach on that. I'm just talking on this because I'm on this subject today. Certain things I don't deal with too much because God didn't call me to deal with that. But once in a while, because I must not shun from the full counsel of God, I will deal with it. So I've dealt with this subject comprehensively today on how the man should take care of his wife, but there's not enough time to go deeper. I'm going to stop here, but I'm looking at my clock and my goodness, it's almost 7 o'clock. So I'm going to stop right here and open it up for discussion. If we can't do enough justice to it, we'll come back again. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a special service, but we may come back on Monday and address this one again and so forth until we do satisfaction to it. You know, so one way or another, I turned this into a marriage series now. So raise the Lord. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's our lesson today. You know, I hope you enjoyed it. Hey, listen, you know, Paul would say things like, I think also I have the Spirit of God. Well, I think also that I have the Spirit of God. I think also I have some experience in this matter. I think also that you young men would do well to listen to me. Just like the Bible said, listen to the older ones. Let them teach them. Listen to these things. You do well for yourself. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray over the room, then I'm going to turn it over for discussion. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this lesson that we have covered on the subject of the virtuous woman and the shepherding husband. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will give understanding to everyone that is here, that the women who are looking for husbands will be looking in the concept of Psalm 23. And that the men who are trying to figure out how to be a better husband will themselves be looking in the concept of Psalm 23. These are the qualities that they need to develop. This is how they must be. And I pray, Lord, that you enable the woman, the married wife, to honor, respect, and submit to her own husband. And I pray, Lord, that you enable the husband to love, honor, respect his wife. And together, when we serve one another, be a beautiful thing. I pray that our children also that are looking at us will learn good examples from us. I pray that the younger generation will learn good examples. Hallelujah, where such examples exist. And for those that do not have good examples to learn from, I pray that these lessons will help them in the name of Jesus. Father, we commit the rest of the discussions into your hands. Let everybody be edified and blessed in Jesus' name and receive all the glory. Thank you for your enabling in my life, enabling me to be the Psalm 23 man. And thank you for enabling my wife to be the Proverbs 31 woman. And together, we built our house on the rock. And this is the house that the Lord has built. And the rains have fallen. The floods have beat upon the house. But the house still stands because it was built upon the rock. May the Lord help every one of us to fashion our homes and build our houses upon the rock. In Jesus' name. A wise woman will build her house, but the foolish will tear it down with her own hands. And again, Jesus said to the man, if the good man of the house would have watched, he would not have allowed his house to have been broken up. So the responsibility is on the man to watch. The responsibility is also on the woman to watch. God bless everyone. I give the Lord the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.